Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. Some Gordon Lightfoot, a very famous song that if you didn't already know about the Edmund Fitzgerald and that song's familiar to you, that's what Gordon Lightfoot was writing about in that tune. We've got two historians joining me today. They have recently written a book called Wrecked, The Edmund Fitzgerald and the Sinking of the American Economy. I've got with me County Executive of Outagamie County since 2011, Tom Nelson, as well as Professor Jerry Pader, Professor of History and the Robert S. French Professor of American Studies at Lawrence University in Appleton, Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the Edmund Fitzgerald, this book that they've written, some of the new information that they've uncovered, and what their research tells us about this moment in the American industrial economy. With that, welcome to the program, Professor Pader and County Executive Nelson.
Thanks for having us on.
Great to be on. Thanks for the promotion from politician to historian. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, we're gonna get to that evolution in your career, County Executive Nelson. But let's just jump in. If you could, in a nutshell, for those that may not be familiar with the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, County Executive Nelson, refresh listeners' recollection. What happened back in 1975?
Well, this is one of the most storied sinkings in the Great Lakes. And what it is it's, of course, the subject of the Gordon Lightfoot song, which we just heard, which has been a staple on radio stations for going on 49 years. And so the ship sank, supposedly under mysterious circumstances. And to this date, there hasn't been final resolution as to why it, in fact, sank. And so over the last 50 years, there have been a lot of people, whether they're shipwreck enthusiasts, Fitzgerald geeks, who've been paying attention to this, friends, family, and so forth, have been searching, trying to figure out why it is that this sank. And I think it's also a mystery why this ship and the story and the legend has captured imaginations, not just in the Midwest, but across the country.
It is a fascinating story in and of itself. Americans, and I think human beings worldwide, have always had a fascination with shipwrecks and the sort of aura, the mystery that comes of this. The Edmund Fitzgerald was a massive carrier that moved iron ore in the Great Lakes, bringing it from ironworks plants to other ports for shipment into the United States. So its particular role in the industrial Midwest was very key, and it was a much beloved ship. Professor Pader, can you tell us why folks in the Midwest, and specifically a lot of Wisconsinites, Michiganders, and Minnesotans, had such an affinity for the Fitzgerald? Its sinking also left a hole in culture. There were so many that the ship was really beloved.
Well, the ship was really a symbol of working class Wisconsin and the working class Midwest. It was, I think, a ship that reflected the sensibilities of the Midwest, the lunch pail, hardworking, no complaints, show up every day and do your job part of the Midwest. And in its own way, it was a brave ship. Now, obviously, a ship doesn't necessarily have a personality, but famously, it was said of the Fitzgerald that the Fitz never backed away from a storm. Okay. Mm. And I think that also is symbolic. It's a tough, hardworking ship that I think went along with the culture of work here in the Midwest and Wisconsin. So that's why it was nicknamed the Fitz in that familiar way.
Yeah, I've talked to some of my family members and most of my family are originally from Wisconsin in the Midwest, and that, Professor Pader, that was exactly their recollection, that it was a symbol. It was sort of a physical embodiment of the spirit of Wisconsin. In other words, tough as nails, won't back down, hardworking, and it was a huge massive size ship. The evening it sank, the reports were that waves were reaching extraordinary heights, up to 35 feet high. If folks have never been in the middle of Lake Michigan or Lake Superior, you can't see shore, and you might as well be in an ocean when those storm systems whip up.
You might as well be on an ocean. But you know, on Lake Superior, and you know, Tom and I both learned a lot about the world of maritime by doing work on this book. The waves on Lake Superior are not like the waves on the Atlantic Ocean. The waves on the Atlantic Ocean are much more rhythmic. 1, 2, 3. And I think if you're a ship captain, you can time it. On Lake Superior, you can have what are known as rogue waves that can basically come out of nowhere. And although we'll never know for certain why the Fitz sank, it's quite possible that it got hit by three rogue waves, what they call the Three Sisters, right in a row. Bam, bam, bam. It was already listing forward because the taconite ore was shifting forward and breaking through the hatches. It got hit. It's almost like getting hit by a knockout punch in the last round of a heavyweight fight.
Or three knockout punches at once. Yeah. Anybody that has taken the ferry from the tip of the Door Peninsula to Washington Island and lost their lunch knows a bit of whence you speak, because it is that same weather and tidal phenomena that is so unique to these massive lakes that we all know here in the Midwest. County Executive Nelson, let me ask you, what inspired the book? Why the Edmund Fitzgerald? There's so many incredible stories to tell. What was it, a love of shipping and the mystery of the Edmund Fitzgerald that came from your youth? What inspired the book?
Yeah, I think it was a confluence of things. First of all, I mean, going to my youth, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad on a motorcycle trip took me up to Sault Ste. Marie with my uncle, which is part of the prologue. And so that is really where the seed took formation. And so it was just always in the back of my mind, because when you go to the Valley Camp Museum, you see the list of all the names and you see this lifeboat that's just been ripped apart. And so there's these images, and then the story that just kind of sat with me, this 7-year-old or 8-year-old. So it's always been there. It's also something that I think that, you know, here in the Midwest, it's this special kind of historical event that we can call our own. So all around the country, people know about the Gordon Lightfoot song, but this is something that happened near Wisconsin or in the Midwest. And I think that's what really captures a lot of attention. So that was part of it. The other part of it is being in politics, now being elective officer for about 21 years. One of my biggest interests are labor relations, studies, economic development. And so it was on a campaign, I think it was for lieutenant governor about 15 years ago, that I was talking to some people down in Milwaukee. We're going back and forth, and that's kind of where the concept came, that this was a vehicle that literally and figuratively carried the U.S. economy in the 1960s and 1970s, because there were ships like the Fitzgerald that were paid for by an insurance company in Milwaukee, Northwestern Mutual, and the CEO was Edmund Fitzgerald. That's where it got its namesake from. And the ship would carry taconite ore from the Iron Range in Minnesota and Manitoba down through the lakes, and in this case to Toledo, to the steel mills in Ohio and northern Kentucky. From there, the steel would be used to build more ships, going to Detroit, building cars, machine tools in Minnesota. And you add all those pieces up together, and that's a really big part of the U.S. economy in the 1970s and in the 1960s and the 1970s. And we all know, especially someone like Professor Proder, who is a professor of American history, knows exactly what happened with political economy in the 1960s and the 1970s. The American economy cratered. And so using the Fitzgerald, yes, we're telling the story that you've heard for 49 years, but there's something more here. And that was the goal of this book, that the Fitzgerald was this vessel that literally and figuratively carried the American economy. And just as the economy fell apart in the 1960s and the 1970s, so did the ship itself. And so, you know, spoiler alert, the reason why the Fitzgerald sank, and the book will go into detail on this, but what really did the Fitzgerald in was not necessarily the Three Sisters waves or taking on water. What did her in is the ship was not seaworthy. It should never have been out on the lake on November 9th and November 10th, 1975.
Folks, you're listening to County Executive of Outagamie County, Tom Nelson. He was a former member of the Wisconsin State Assembly representing the 5th Assembly District from 2005 to 2011. He was elected again in 2004. He was the only Democrat in that election series to unseat an incumbent Republican. He's joined by Professor Jerry Pader, Professor of History, and the Robert S. French Professor of American Studies at Lawrence University in Appleton, Wisconsin. They have co-authored a book, which I'm about halfway through, guys. I will finish it up over the weekend, called Wrecked, The Edmund Fitzgerald and the Sinking of the American Economy. As you were pointing out, Tom, it is the Fitzgerald stands as a literal embodiment of what was happening in the American economy in that very moment, right? And it occurred to me, you know, being from Milwaukee and knowing what happened to manufacturing jobs in the 70s, coupled with the redlining going back into the 40s and 50s, and really the strife that brought to the middle class, where you used to be able to, with a high school diploma or a GED, getting a family supporting middle class job at Alice Chalmers, at Master Lock, at any one of these large manufacturing companies here in Milwaukee and beyond throughout the industrial upper Midwest. Simply not the case today. Professor Pader, when you put this in historical context, what do you want a reader to take away about what we should be paying attention to? What lessons from the Fitzgerald and from that period of time in the United States and the pain that the middle class really has been experiencing since that period of time, what lessons do you want people to glean from that apply today?
What I want them, or what we want them to take away from this is a much larger story than just a human tragedy, which obviously it was. It is an economic tragedy story as well, because what is happening in the 1970s, as the Edmund Fitzgerald is sinking, is the American economy is shifting into what we now call a neoliberal mode. What is neoliberalism? It's obviously very complicated, but it basically means low taxes, low spending, low deficits, let the market do its work, pretty much get the government out of the economic system. Now, of course, this sounds wonderful on the surface, but in reality, what it does is it puts a lot of American companies out of business. And one of the things that we're trying to argue for in this book is a return to what we might call managerial economics, not socialism necessarily, but one in which the government plays a role in encouraging economic growth. And in this case, investing in the American shipbuilding industry, which it was not doing in 1975 when the Edmund Fitzgerald sank.
And hence County Executive's point that the ship itself was not seaworthy. We're going to dive into those bigger questions about how we move the American economy forward today, these lessons that can be gleaned from my guest book. Again, that book is Wrecked, The Edmund Fitzgerald and the Sinking of the American Economy. We talk about what this means to Wisconsin today and how these gentlemen completed some of their new historical research. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.